The fact that you guys are all American Jews means that almost definitely the story of any Jewish family or friends you might have is something like this. They're from somewhere in Eastern Europe, Poland, Russia, Lithuania, Belarus, Ukraine, something like that. And they probably moved to the U.S. sometime between 1880 and World War I. And somewhere in the family, there's a Bubby or a Zadie who schwitzes and schleps and kibitzes and kvels. Does that sound like anyone we know? Okay, so it turns out I'm actually not a super genius who knows all about your families. The story I just told is the story of probably 90 to 95% of American Jews, including the Jews we know from, you know, pop culture, people like Jerry Seinfeld. And of course, I just told a very specific Jewish story, right? The Ashkenazi Jewish story, the Eastern European Jewish story. And again, because American Judaism is so highly Ashkenazi, if I were to ask you about Jewish food, chances are you're going to tell me about kugel or bagels and schmear or matzo ball soup or gefilte fish or something like that, right? Now, one of the really interesting things about Israel is that we have a much more diverse Jewish population. The largest group of Jews here in Israel are actually what are called Mizrahi Jews, right? Middle Eastern Jews, Jews from Lebanon or Syria or Iraq or Yemen or Morocco or Egypt or all these places. And we, of course, have Ashkenazi Jews here as well. And we have another group of Jews called Sephardic Jews. Now, in English, the word Sephardic, not terribly helpful. In Hebrew, actually, it's very telling. Anyone happen to know the Hebrew word Sfarad? Yeah, so the Hebrew word Sfarad means Spain. And so when we call someone a Sephardic Jew, what we're really calling them is a Spanish Jew. Now, it's not like my Bubby and Zadie, right? We call me Ashkenazi because 2-3 generations ago, my family left the Ashkenaz area of Eastern Europe. When we call someone a Sephardic Jew, we're talking about in 1492, not only did Columbus sail the ocean blue, the Jews were also kicked out of Spain. And in the scope of Jewish history, that 500 years is such a short time period, we're still calling them Spanish Jews like it was just yesterday that they left. And when the Jews fled Spain, they went basically anywhere you could go by boat. So they went to the Netherlands, right? If you've ever been to Amsterdam, the famous synagogue there is a Sephardic synagogue. They went to Britain. The first Jews in North and South America, including a small little town you might have heard of called New Amsterdam, right? Of course, modern-day New York, the first Jews there were Sephardic Jews as well. One of the famous financiers of the American Revolution, a guy named Chaim Solomon, was actually a Sephardic Jew. But in particular, they went all around the Mediterranean, and especially to this new up-and-coming empire known as the Ottoman Empire. It's an empire based in modern-day Turkey. And the Ottoman Empire, they looked over at Spain and said, wait a minute, you guys are kicking out all of your Jews with their facility for languages and their ability to move between Christian Europe and the Muslim Middle East? Great, send them on over. And so you get this huge influx of Jews leaving Spain and moving into the Ottoman Empire. And it's actually at this time where you get the only city in all of Jewish history to have a Jewish majority for 500 years. Anybody want to take a guess? The only city ever to have a Jewish majority for 500 years? Yeah, so it's actually a city called, today known as Thessaloniki, but historically known as Salonika or Saloniki. It's a city in Greece. You can see it here on the map. And in Saloniki, they had this incredible sort of thriving Sephardic Jewish culture. So again, as American Jews, we're familiar with the idea of Yiddishkeit, right? Of Yiddish language, Yiddish theater, Yiddish novels, Yiddish holy texts, right? Well, in the Sephardic Jewish world, they had their own language as well. And so if Yiddish is a mixture of German and Hebrew, right? Again, I'm simplifying here, but that's in general what Yiddish is. Sephardic Jews also had their own Jewish language. Anyone happen to know it? Yeah, it's a language called Ladino, which is a mixture of Spanish and Hebrew. So, for example, one of the nicknames of this town, Salonika, was Le Madre de Israel, right? What's that mean? Yeah, the Mother of Israel, exactly right. Or they had a famous Ladino Hanukkah song called Ocho Candelicas. What's Ocho Candelicas? Yeah, eight candles, exactly right, right? So you can hear this sort of Spanish feel to the city. So, within the city of Salonika, I should start anywhere around the world where you had a major group of Jews. We talked about this big wave of Jews leaving, again, especially Eastern Europe, moving to the U.S. Say, most Jews were moving to the land of milk and honey, to the U.S., but you got a few crazy Jews with this wild idea in their head that instead of moving to the U.S., they should actually move somewhere else. This ancient homeland where we happen to be standing right now, right? I'm referring, of course, to Zionists. And while the mass of Jews are moving to places like the U.S. or Britain or South Africa or other places like that, there are a few Jews who decide to go ahead and move back to Israel. And basically, anywhere around the world where you have any sort of meaningful Jewish community, you're going to have a few Zionists who are going to form what are called Zionist committees. Right? And so in the city of Salonika, the head of the Zionist committee was a guy named David Florentine, who in the early 1900s went around to his community and collected money, and he came and he bought this plot of land right here, which is now called Florentine, named after David Florentine, the head of the Salonica Zionist Committee.